This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Tuesday morning, 26th of February. Did anyone actually watch the Oscars? Anyone?
No.
Anyone? Anyone?
One must not. One should just watch highlights.
Yes, I did watch it on Fast Forward.
Okay, so what did you see that was good on Fast Forward? Everybody's talking about how Lady Gaga was looking at
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
She could have earned another Oscar for her crying after she won the Oscar.
Oh, she cried?
Yeah. Oh.
Why? What was she? Let me understand this. She's crying because she's emotional. Yes. But what could be better than winning an Oscar? Why would you cry?
It was a boo-hoo-hoo of note. Then I saw backstage videos and backstage photos as well. She was boo-hoo-hooing there. The performances were great. The opening number was a Queen number, so Adam Lambert performed that, We Will Rock You. Mm-hmm. The stage itself, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but already the internet and memes have started taking over. If you squint at the stage design, it looked like...
By the way, she won for Best Song, right?
Best,
is that right?
Shallow.
Oh, okay,
the
yeah.
single Shallow from the movie A Star Is Born. So if you're sitting from the audience and you squint at the stage, it did sort of look like Donald Trump's hair.
Oh, no.
God, how hilarious.
It was this wavy golden design.
He's the big elephant in the room that all of them are more than happy to take a shot at, because he's such easy prey and so brave to say something about Donald Trump.
And I'm now so everyone tired of this. Had to stare at that.
It's 3 years already. Will you children please stop arguing? Will you children please stop moaning about your parents? Hollywood is the most, I've said this before, the most cotton wool, coddled, elitist, bowed down to, beckoned to, scraped to group of people that you've ever seen in your life. There has never been in all of explored human history a group of people more...
Is obsessed
out
the
of
word
touch. So they're so self-absorbed, and they all they can do is, I mean, you guys couldn't get it together to find our host. This is the most simple job. You would think Hollywood. You've got a billion people in the world who want to be in Hollywood because they're attention seekers.
You only had one job.
You had to find one dumbass among them who could tell just a handful of crap jokes about Donald Trump, and they couldn't even find that.
BuzzFeed's article, 15 super awkward moments from the 2019 Oscars. Number one, well, there was no host.
Let's just listen to Gaga's speech that Sia's telling us about, because that sounds interesting. Just from the point of view that we can make fun of her. Are you ready?
All I have to say is that this is hard work. I've worked hard for a long time, and it's not about, you know...
Oh, my God. Someone stop her. Listen. Can I tell Lady Gaga what hard work is? She might have waitressed for a while. I don't know what hard work is, but I can guarantee someone who works in a coal mine here in South Africa, or someone who is in the military, or someone who puts their life on the line every day. You know those people who fly helicopters over power lines?
Wait, but hard is relative.
To clean them. No. This is, she's not hard.
Yeah, because I mean, like.
Nothing hard about her life.
A waitress at Spur. So yeah. Does that count?
Then you've had it tougher than
Lady
Gaga.
I've had a really hard time.
Do you think she's had it hard?
In her world and in her context, yes. We have to be blunt in that way. It's all relative. When you go home after a long day and you said, well, I've had a hard day, you don't exactly go through the mental steps of going, oh, well,
I'm
no, I should be grateful.
I'm not fighting on the beaches of Normandy. But that's the point, is you should have some perspective as to what other people are going through. Remember, the people who go to see the dumb movie that she and Bradley Cooper made,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a country singer.
Yes.
So they're talking about middle America. Those are people who actually do labor. They do difficult works. They work. They farm. They mine, they forest, they mm-hmm. do all the jobs that make it possible for her to wear a $300 million necklace. Really, they do.
Yeah.
It is not hard to be Lady Gaga. She's talented.
It is
I'll
in
give her that.
Context.
I'll give her this. I've always thought talented woman, she remains a talented woman. Extraordinary ability musically. I've always admired that. Not hard work. Hard work is not being in a studio for 8 hours recording Shallow with Bradley Cooper. There isn't a woman in the world who wouldn't be stuck in, wouldn't want to be stuck in a studio with Bradley Cooper for 8 hours. You know what's hard? When Michael Jackson was put in a studio by Berry Gordy and his father, and he was basically made to do Man in the Mirror so many times the guy broke down and, oh my God, I can't do it again, Berry. Do it again, Michael. Oh, Daddy, please don't shout at me. Do it again. That's hard work, not Lady Gaga.
I am sorry. I still have hard days.
All right. Yeah, but not your hardest day and Lady Gaga's are very different because she goes back to her $20 million mansion.
But she has more on the line, though.
Does she?
I will have to say she works harder than I do.
So what's the worst thing that can happen to Gaga? She doesn't have a hit.
No.
What?
She has like health issues.
Does she?
Yeah. She like.
What's her problem?
There was her documentary that she did for Netflix where she has to have like daily acupuncture because she has muscle spasms.
Oh, the poor woman.
No, no, I think I'm downplaying it.
Pinky, please tell me that you have problems like this. See, this is so hard.
Don't give him more fodder.
No, I'm
daily
just not
acupuncture. Oh, acupuncture. Have you ever heard such shit in your life?
Look, I wish I had those problems.
You know what? I'm going to stand up and let me find what it's right. Exactly.
No, okay, yeah. don't give him more fodder.
Wait, here, let's listen to her. Her speech will do all the work for you, Sia. Don't worry.
And it's not about, you know, it's not about winning.
Oh, by the way, her hand is shaking while she's doing this, too. Like, she must have physical problems because no one behaves like this when they get a little gold statue for being fantastic from other people who also want gold statues for being fantastic. It's just the greatest. Hollywood is so up its own asshole. It's so far up its own asshole, it cannot see the daylight. It has to create little gold statues to reflect what little light comes up the asshole so they can spread it around.
It's not about winning, but what it is about is not giving up.
And there's some woman in the crowd nodding her head going, yes, Gaga, yes, say it, preach, girl. Preach.
Jennifer Hudson.
Is it Jennifer Hudson? Oh, it's so hard for us, bitches. We is having a tough time. We are the luckiest women in world history. But
they've already made a meme of that.
Let's feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, this meme is a GIF definitely available on WhatsApp as we speak. Sia's going to be sending it to me next week when I say something stupid. He's going to be sending me this, sister. Speak the truth. Speak your truth, Gaga. All these cliched pieces of shit things that are going on in society. Just listen.
It's not giving up. Yeah. If you have a dream, fight for it. Yes. There's a discipline for passion. Yes. And it's not about how many times you get rejected. Or
is she wearing the necklace from Titanic?
Wow.
That's a hell of a big diamond.
Yeah, it's a big stone.
I love when someone who has... Really, I mean, she may have had struggles. Who knows? Maybe Gaga had to once fish through the garbage to get a meal or something. I don't know. But she's standing up there. Who's she really talking to when she says, follow your dreams, live your discipline? She's saying that because she's just got an award and she doesn't know what else to say. What she should say, go up there. I've said it before. The best Oscar speech of all time would be if you go up there and you go, thank you, and you go right back down and sit down in your seat. No one needs to know.
Oh, but this
Pinky,
is your moment.
Please back me here. You don't need more than that.
I'm backing you this time.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, you need that.
Is that what you wanted?
Just thank you.
No, you need that Halle Berry crying, you really like me. You really like me moment. Yes. You need Halle that Charlize Theron moment
Halle
holding
Berry,
it together.
You know, you're talking my language. Halle Berry, Charlize Theron, they can talk all night if they want to. I don't care because
so
I'm not going to watch the
Your problem is the person.
No, no, no. My problem is I don't have to watch this shit. I really don't. I mean, I'd like to see them doing what they do in a movie. It's hard enough to watch a two-hour movie. If, for example, I have The Favorite, which was one of the movies that was nominated, right?
With Olivia winning Best Actress.
Olivia Colman, right. Mm-hmm. And I've been threatening to watch this for a number of reasons. First of all, it's a historical drama. So it's about Queen Anne, who was this big, fat, ugly lesbian woman. Who
was she like
Queen
publicly
of England.
Lesbian?
No. But she was deeply in love with Sarah Blenheim, Sarah Marlborough. Oh. The Duchess of Marlborough.
Wow.
And the two of them used to write letters. They spent all their time together, and then Sarah eventually kind of just dumped Queen Anne.
Mm-hmm.
After Queen Anne had built her a huge palace, given her everything she could ever want, given her husband everything he could want. Like, she was, this Queen Anne was obsessed. She was a child. She was a child trapped in a big, fat adult body. Fat. And let me tell you, very, very fat.
Literally
Queen
fat.
Anne was so enormous that to bury her in an octagonal coffin.
Like Henry VIII.
Yeah. So, yeah, Queen Anne was morbidly obese. Anyway, quite apart from that, and the only reason, by the way, that it got any nominations at the Oscars was because it was about a...
Lesbian queen.
It's just like, why did Green Book get a nomination? Because it's about a black gay guy. Right.
Jussie Smollett.
No, but here's the thing, right? Jussie Smollett's the biggest story in the news. Did one joke about Jussie Smollett come up? Not.
Oh, everyone's leaving that alone.
Not one. Now, this is hilarious because this is an actual actor.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a bad actor who couldn't pull off his own hate crime stunt. It's a great story for a joke. Did anyone in Hollywood go there? No.
I think his co-star had some sort of explosive reaction yesterday.
That's, explosive diarrhea?
Terrence Howard, if anyone knows him.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, Terrence Howard. Very well
Lucius
known.
Lucius Lyon.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I see his picture now. I do recognize
him. What was
him.
His explosive reaction?
Explosive fight on the Empire set.
Uh-oh.
He reportedly confronted Jussie Smollett about his alleged attack while on the set of Empire, and things got heated.
Oh, yeah?
Howard allegedly began screaming at Smollett to come clean about what really happened.
Right. This is what he needs. He needs a father to step in and say, listen, stop talking shit. Jussie Smollett's biggest problem is this: clearly he didn't have any major disciplinarian in his life when he was growing up. No one sat him down and said to him, now listen, you little shit, life's not going to always go your way, and you can't make shit up and lie to people.
Apparently, he didn't come out of his trailer for most of the day.
Oh, Daddy shouted at me.
Terrence Howard, good for you.
Do you think he has a hard life?
Who, Jussie Smollett? No, well, no, he's made his life hard.
Okay.
His own stupidity has brought him to this point. Dummy. Little dummy. But why didn't they joke about him at the Oscars? This is easily the biggest Hollywood story of the week, if not the month. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So why not talk about it at an actor's meeting, a convention of people who pretend for a living? Why not talk about the guy who pretended so badly he got arrested? Huh? Isn't that the most relevant thing in your universe, Hollywood? You assholes.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Gaga, finish your speech. I'm so sorry to interrupt you.
And it's not about how many times you get rejected or but you fall down or you're beaten up. It's about how many times you stand up and are brave and you keep on going. Thank you.
So brave. So brave. It's you're so brave to make songs for a living.
I'm going to let you finish, but...
Okay.
Have you ever heard such crap in your life?
Then I'm not going to win.
By the way, there's a man in a dress at the Oscars.
Billy Porter.
Who's Billy Porter? Remind me.
Billy Porter is an actor. Most recently, he's gained a lot of buzz from starring in Netflix's series called Pose. And him wearing a skirt was a nod to some heyday LGBTQ star.
Okay, so he's also been called very brave for wearing a dress. So brave, because what was going to happen to him? Was he going to be gunned down by the Taliban at the Oscars? Hey. Just someone give me some idea.
Oh, my word.
Pinky, do you have the latest security report on what might have happened to this Billy Bob Thornton or whatever his name is?
Billy Porter. Billy whatever. Bob Thornton was the abs guy.
So dangerous to wear a gown, a full-length ball gown, by the way, at the Oscars. Did anything terrible happen to him? Was he attacked by anti-LGBTQ PETA people who were against him for everything?
PETA's anything? For the animals.
I know, but he might have been wearing some kind of animal. Was there any danger to him? Anything?
No, I don't have anything.
No. Billy Bob Porter.
So... this article from Teen Vogue. Olivia Colman used Emma Stone's real name during her Oscars 2019 speech, and the internet flipped out. So I read on. And it goes, it says, oh, she reminded us that Emma Stone isn't really Emma Stone.
Who's Emma Stone?
She's an actress.
Oh. Emma Stone, she started like Easy A.
Take a look at her quickly.
What's that movie with Ryan Gosling?
Where so he looks from?
Emma Stone. Who's Emma Stone?
So her real name.
Oh, right. That mousy chick.
Okay, so her real name is Emily Jean Stone. So what's the big deal?
So what? Why did she use her real name, or what was the problem?
I don't know.
Wasn't she meant to do that?
Yeah, she. I don't know. The internet flipped out, and then it turns out her real name is Emily Jean Stone. So in other words, Emma Stone. Oh, jeez.
All right, can we bring it back to somehow retaining the dignity, the little
well,
dignity?
Well, yes, but where there's a man there wandering around in a gown, I'd say that there's very little dignity left.
Okay.
It's just amazing. Like, this guy, please look at this dress. He's basically got the tuxedo up at the top, and then it turns into this huge, what would you call, how would you describe that? It's like
a ball gown skirt. Is that a phrase? It's like a lady's ball gown.
Like a hoop skirt. A
massive,
like Marie poofy. Antoinette would have worn something like this. And this guy's sauntering around like a swan at the Oscars. I mean, first of all, he took up the entire red carpet with this dress, which I think is very, very selfish. because there aren't any fat people being given Oscars. And obviously, the thin people take up much less space. So for him to just clog up the red carpet with this dress is just outrageous.
Can we at least talk about how it was Spike Lee's first Oscar?
Well,
and how excited he looked.
Well, sure. If that's the only
but
thing
also
we can
his
find,
outfit oh, was too much. Him.
He was wearing purple
Spike
and
Lee,
blue.
I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it all. I love his knuckle rings.
He's got purple glasses, purple tie, purple jacket, right. Purple hat.
Okay. I love the fact that even in all of his Spike Lee-ness, if you go into Trevor Noah's Instagram, Trevor actually took a picture of Spike Lee in quite a cool moment. He, Spike Lee, went backstage at a point, and he was sitting nervously in a corner.
Spike Lee was?
Yeah. And Trevor bumped into him and asked, what are you exactly doing? And he said quite nervously, I'm writing a script, and I hope I get to use it. I'm like, you are freaking Spike Lee. You still get nervous.
Why is it, first of all, I mean, Spike Lee, has he done any movies in the last couple of years, or why didn't he get Oscars for the movies that he did at the time?
He's been nominated 3 times, and this was his first win. And I think it's quite interesting that he was still so like, just, okay, hoping it works out. Let's see.
Oh, here's a good story. President Donald Trump, who did watch the Oscars because he's obsessed with celebrities in Hollywood.
Yeah, was that during his, what does he call it? Executive time.
Executive time, for sure. So this, he wishes he was at the Oscars. Trump's real favorite job of all time would be to be hosting the Oscars. He'd love that more than he'd love being president. That's what nobody tells you. He says, Spike Lee, who used his Oscar acceptance speech to urge mobilization for the 2020 election, I'm going to go after you. He did a racist hit on your president. Trump claimed that he had done more for African Americans than almost any other president. Well, he's probably done more for African Americans than Spike Lee did. That's true. Lee won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay Sunday for his white supremacist drama Black KKK Klansman, sharing the award with 3 co-writers. The film includes footage of Trump after the 2017 violent white supremacist protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. Well, Donald, you can't just say you were in the wrong place at the wrong time on that one. Because I remember you saying, both sides are bad. Anyway, so Spike Lee, did Samuel L. Jackson pick Spike Lee up, or did Spike Lee pick Samuel L. Jackson up? Because one of the two hugged each other.
Yeah, it was just a moment.
Yes, I did not watch, but I thought it would be worth going into this for entertainment's sake this morning. Because that's all the Oscars are. Entertainment.
Mm.
Oh, my friend Eleanor says that Emma Stone is in The Favourite. That's why Olivia Colman was talking about her. She used her real name, which Leanne says was
Emily.
Terrifying
Stone.
To some people.
Stone.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily Kane Jane Bean Stone. Anyway. So I've got to watch The Favourite at some point.
Okay.
Just because I'm into history and I want to see what they do with this. But it is hilarious. I mean, it's just everything is about who's the worst off. Which movie's going to win? Oh, and then there's Bohemian Rhapsody, which is also about a gay man. So really, this was the intersectional Olympics of the Oscars.
Well, then Rami Malek wins the Academy Award.
And the one that won? And there was Roma, about an illegal immigrant.
Uh-huh.
So another group that is on the intersectional Olympics.
In Rami's acceptance speech, he says, you know, as someone with Egyptian roots, I'm like,
here we go. Oh my God. Did Freddie Mercury ever talk about being from Zanzibar? No, people had to look that up.
There, I will have to admit, I did roll my eyes a bit.
It's just ridiculous. First of all, the world is a free place in most of the world. Obviously, if you're stuck in, like, shithole North Korea or Venezuela or Iran, it's a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the free world, I don't care where you move or where you're from. It might be interesting from the point of view of, oh, you're a goofy-looking guy. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from, Northern Ireland. Okay, well, that explains something.
I love me some people from Northern Ireland.
Right, but it's so unnecessary for these people to be trying to get themselves onto the scorecard by having suffered in some way. My father was an immigrant. My mom was Meryl Streep's Latino pool boy.
My sister worked at the Spur.
Yeah. And I wore a dress. But you're a man. Yes, but that's my victimhood and I'm brave. Yes, wear it. That's what I'm doing. No, literally. Yes, that's why I wore a dress. Okay, thanks very much. All right. So let's just keep an eye on the Oscars because it's completely out of control. And it's no wonder that these Oscars, the ratings are already coming through. Lowest rated Oscars of all time.
Sure.
And it continues to slide.
Yeah.
You know, when Hollywood can't help itself, it's broken. This is what they have to do. Look in the mirror and stop it. Stop it, because all you've done in Hollywood for the last 20 years is mock everyone who isn't as smart or as refined or as left-wing as you are. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. They're not buying your movies in the numbers that they used to. They're not listening to your music like they used to. You're not making the money that you used to.
What's happening?
People have lost, they've lost any reason to have to engage with a bunch of superficial, self-absorbed assholes in Hollywood. Let's go to Rob in Howick. Hey, it's Crazy Rob. Let's talk to him. I haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, so I'm good, thanks, and you?
Yeah, all right, good. What's happening?
I've started a CS50 Harvard computer programming, but that's a bunch of muchness.
I'm sorry, what? Just some do that again in English. No hablo español. Try again.
I've started the Harvard online CS50 programming course.
All right, that's even worse than the first time.
Basically, I'm going to become an online hacker.
Oh, God help us all. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, they've got to catch you first, though, which is with our legal system, how it is.
I hate to tell you, Rob, I hate to remind you, but you just told us you're from Howick. That narrows it down fairly.
Maybe I
very well. Yeah, I mean, it's not Howick's got. It's you and a bunch of 70-year-olds. So we're going to know how to find you.
You're
the only person who can walk without a stick.
Know how to use the computer.
All right. Okay, so you're going to learn to be a hacker, but what else is going on in your life? Weren't you dating some very much older woman not so long ago?
Yeah. It was the Howick Lasagna ladies.
That's all of the ladies or just one of them?
I don't discriminate. It's all of them.
All right. You service the community, huh?
Yeah, community service is very important to me.
Yeah, Rob, you've got to be careful. Like some of these cougars that you can you even call them cougars?
Because they like to maul you.
I call them snow leopards. They're too old to be cougars.
A little more gray.
Except the snow leopards, very rare. Yeah. They're abundant here.
Oh, they're abundant, huh? Mm-hmm. So what's your plan here with the hacking that you're going to learn to do?
Because you get good hacking.
Yeah. I mean, you want to work for Google and help them figure out where their algorithm is messing up? Or
No. I want to hack dating sites. And find out where some younger women are.
Okay, well, that's not creepy at all.
No, that's very charming. It's going to be my open line.
Yeah. You're going to say to them, hey, I'm Rob from Howick, and I have hacked into your Facebook, and I can tell that you are having an affair with
Your credit card number is XYZ.
Right, that's not going to frighten them off at all. I can I can see why you're having to go for the older, less technologically capable ladies. All right. Well, just be careful, because I don't want to hear a story about you in the news.
Yeah, no, and if I go to jail, I can change it so they send me to a woman's prison.
Oh, Rob, you're such a creep.
There's that saying, he couldn't get lucky on a woman's death row with a handful of pardons. I want to test that.
Okay, well, do you keep us informed. You know, we like to be outside observers of your fascinating life.
But I'm not going to tell you how to do it, because I don't want them to know that.
I don't want you to tell me how to do it. Rob.
Yeah.
Are you still sponging off your parents?
That is a bit of a hindrance to my objectives, but
Who's buying the computer equipment? Because you know, if they trace that, they're going to arrest your parents, and you won't have any means to live, because you haven't. Have you got a job yet?
No woman's giving me kind of job.
No, it's not about giving, and it's not about women here. Just let's focus your attentions for a second. You're not an unintelligent human being. I'd say number one shouldn't be learning to hack so you can hack into dating sites. Number one should be learning to hack so you can bring in some income.
That's what I was doing, because my sister is a bit of an overachiever. She got out of the house? she wanted to do the course, and she wanted me to do it as well, because... Yeah.
She can occasionally put a hot meal on the table, yeah?
Yeah, but I'll tell you the truth, I'm kind of losing interest, because the internet, there's not a lot of opportunities on it anymore. It's all been taken.
Yeah, you see, I was getting my hopes up that this could be the thing that propelled you into being a productive, economically active person, but even that's not likely to happen. Well, Rob,
try and get something else up if you want.
What I've always liked about you is that you're very honest. You talk to us. We love hearing from you, and you keep that up, if nothing else. This isn't a job, but it's fun.
Okay. That I can manage, but to keep it up further, I might need a little blue pill.
Yeah. I'm not helping you with that either, because it's starting to go from creepy to rapey, and I'm not entirely sure I want to be a part of this.
But I thought everybody loves to be stalked.
You know who likes to be stalked, Rob? No one on earth. No. Just ask any of the Cosby victims.
Cosby.
Huh?
Who's Cosby?
All right. Wow. Don't worry. Oh yeah, Rob. Have a happy day, dude.
Okay, Clint. And also, I'm working on the movement, the seemingly random movement of quantum particles in a virtual vacuum.
All right. Well, there he is, Rob, who's holed up in his parents' basement as we speak, with many opportunities ahead of him.
I'm trying very hard to analyze that whole situation.
Don't. Get your brain will hurt. It's fantastic. All right.
Good for Rob.
Yeah. Blind history.
Moving on very swiftly.
Blind History is a crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women. And by great, we don't always mean good. In this series, hosted by me and Anthony Medera from Taylor Blinds, we'll tell you all the stuff that the history books leave out. The sordid stories, the less well-known details, the stuff they didn't teach you at school. Don't miss episode 3 today. Comes out this afternoon. Well, this morning, actually. We're looking at the life and death of America's most famous president, John F. Kennedy. Well, he's one of the most famous, right? You can get to cliffcentral.com. There is the Blind History page brought to you by Taylor Blinds. Go and download it as soon as it's available. I think it goes live at 8 o'clock this morning.
7:45.
Ooh.
Very particular.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Very exciting. People are enjoying this. Who have we done so far? We've had Alexander the Great, Shaka Zulu, and now John F. Kennedy. Who Leanne is related to in some way.
Yes,
cousins.
I have an uncle. Bob's your uncle. Well, Bob is my uncle. His name's Robert Kennedy.
All right, that's correct.
And he's related to the Kennedys.
Yeah, but this is Uncle Ted Kennedy. How are you, Cousin Leanne?
You see, there you go.
Are you having a good time over there?
Yeah, no, it's...
Of course, I'm in heaven. I had a paralyzing stroke.
Oh, shame.
What do you...
After having brain cancer.
Oh, dear.
But I'm fine now. I'm with Bobby, and I'm with John, and I'm with Jack, and I'm with Daddy, who was a Nazi sympathizer.
Wow. Are you watching over Trump, and what do you think of him?
I don't want to comment on politics.
Oh, okay.
I have moved on. I've realized politics is for mortal, stupid human beings.
Right.
I involve myself in chasing women like your caller, Rob.
That's a much better call in life.
If you thought I was a horn dog on earth, you have no idea. In heaven.
I'm sure the women are beautiful.
And the angels. You just lift their skirts when they're busy playing their trumpets.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
I've got to go.
Okay.
GC calls.
Ted Kennedy, disgusting old senator.
Sure. Wait a minute. So technically, aren't you related to Arnold Schwarzenegger, if that's the case?
By marriage?
Yeah, sure. I suppose so.
You're just lucky to be alive. Anyone related to the Kennedys, something happens to them, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hadn't found your sleeping Jesus.
Oof. Yeah, I know.
There's that curse.
By the way, a lot of people have been emailing me saying that your story about the Leanne has sleep apnea, quite severe sleep apnea. Yes. So she has this device that she sleeps with that helps her to breathe when she's sleeping. Otherwise, CPAP. She goes...
CPAP machine.
Yes. And we call it her sleeping Jesus. And she's going to take...
Because it is. It's like a miracle. It's changed my life.
She's going to take a picture of it and send it to us.
Oh.
So we can put it on the website and put it on Instagram.
On the interwebs?
On the interwebs. Sia Sangweni.
Yebo.
Let's look at some of the stories in the news.
Sure.
You happy with that?
I vote for that.
All right. If you don't like any of these stories, you can veto them, Sia. I give you the power of veto.
Okay. Do I just object mid-sentence?
If you don't like where it's going, you just say stop.
Okay.
Don't let him finish.
Yeah.
Stop!
Joking. Right,
I couldn't resist. All
right. Hang on. There goes that story. It's finished. Among 28 countries, South Africa showed the highest prevalence of cyberbullying. Well, are you surprised? It's because we've got the most damaged society. We've got tons and tons of people who just have not grown up in happy homes. There are children who have to raise children in South Africa. There's a lack of good role models. There's an absolute dearth of leadership. And kids are forced to become adults far too young in this country. So what do? They carry huge emotional baggage and end up taking it out on other kids. But that's just my opinion. Here's what's really in the story. According to a 2018 report by research company Ipsos Global Advisor, the report showed more than 80% of South Africans said they were aware of cyberbullying, and almost three-quarters of South Africans believe that the anti-bullying measures we have in place are insufficient. 54% of parents who took part in the study admitted to knowing at least one child in their community who's been the victim of cyberbullying, up by 24% since 2011. Now, most of this is child-on-child bullying, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is girl-on-girl. In fact, far more than boy-on-girl or boy-on-boy violence in terms of cyberbullying.
Because girls are just, they're beasts.
Yeah. Last week, a 13-year-old girl from Pretoria, she committed suicide after a photograph was sent around her school via WhatsApp. It's understood that she took her life at her home on Monday after a grade 7 pupil threatened to distribute a video of her naked. Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's bad.
So we've got problems. Here are some signs if your child is being cyberbullied, if you're a parent. When they unexpectedly stop using their electronic devices. So, I mean, usually you'd think, they're being antisocial, not talking to anyone, they're on the phone the whole time. If they suddenly stop using their electronic devices, something's happened. If they appear nervous when they're using their devices, they suddenly are frantic. You could see they're nervous. They start to behave in an erratic way. If they seem reluctant about going to school or going outside. If they seem angry, depressed, or sad, which is any teenager, so I don't know about that one being helpful. Oversleeping or not sleeping enough. Making suicidal statements and an increase or decrease in eating. So how's that?
Sure. It's a horrible... I mean, you think back to high school. It was difficult.
Yeah.
Just without bullies.
And there... High school is your whole entire life.
Yeah,
you know,
when you're in
it,
it's your life.
Yeah, it will get better, and one day these people won't matter.
You don't see beyond anything when you're in high school. It's like survival mode.
Yeah, and of course the other thing is that this stuff now follows you from school. You know, I imagine for people who used to grow up in times before the cell phone and before social media, you could leave the bullying at school. You can't now. It follows you wherever you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Cape Town reporting that Parliament's Police Committee received legal advice on whether to grant the head of IPED the right to present oral submissions and why his contract should be renewed. Robert McBride is currently involved in a legal tussle with Police Minister Becky Gele, who has signaled his intention not to renew McBride's contract. McBride fought to have his contract renewed, and it hit a snag when the police committee said it was not keen on offering him an oral hearing. Last week, the committee requested further information such as performance contracts and assessments, as well as McBride's security clearance, to enable it to make an informed decision.
Will his legal journey ever end?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's been going on for so long.
Either Robert McBride is the most misunderstood person in all of South Africa, which there's a fairly high standard for that, or this guy is just tremendously evil, and they've been trying to get rid of him for such a long time. I don't know what the story is here. And I don't know who to believe, because there was a time when Robert McBride was one of the guys against state capture, and he stood up for, remember, IPED's meant to be the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. They're meant to be the people you go to when the police are overstepping the mark, and you know, maybe they arrest you unlawfully, or there's some kind of police intimidation, or there's a case where the police have been acting in contravention of the law themselves. Then you go to IPED. And Robert McBride was the guy in charge of that. I don't know how well it's working, but it's so confusing at the moment that who knows. And also, this has got to be the only country in the world who, when your boss legitimately decides they don't want you to be renewed, you take them to court and go, why won't you renew me? It's very odd. So there's Robert McBride taking up the headlines again. So greedy for headlines. 4 people are dead and 10 are critical in a Tshwane accident. That apparently happened between a bus and a car on the Moloto Road in Tshwane. That has got to be one of the worst roads in the country.
Notorious.
Paramedics are on the scene using jaws of life to release passengers who were still trapped inside the bus. 50 other patients had sustained injuries ranging from minor to moderate.
Worst is you don't have a choice. You need to get to wherever you need to get to. And if your only mode of transport is a dodgy taxi or a big, horrible bus, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I've really do.
Even if you have a fancy car on that road, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for the people who have to do that. But that Moloto Road seems like a death trap. If anybody you're driving with says, let's use the Moloto Road, say no.
Fill it with speed bumps or something. Come on.
Just blow it up. Blow it up so no one can use it anymore. It's
not even let it be an option.
Dynamite the whole thing into oblivion. Analysts say there is no criminal case in the Kodwa rape saga, but it may expose the victim to more abuse. So pressure is mounting for the ANC to take action against Zizi Kodwa. Analysts say that the lack of a criminal case may expose the victim to more abuse, and this time by the party. So basically they're saying unless this goes ahead and is prosecuted, then all that's going to happen is it's her word versus Zizi's, and she's going to end up, because she's not the powerful one in this story, being abused. A woman sent a letter to the party's deputy secretary general, Jessie Duarte, detailing how she and another woman were drugged and raped by Kodwa. The woman has not opened a criminal case, despite Duarte saying the party has advised her to do so. Now, why would she not want to open a criminal case? I mean, she's already put it out there, so she's already exposing herself. It makes sense that she should do the next thing, which is to go to the police and lodge a criminal case of rape. Otherwise, all you're doing is saying things. If Zizi's going to be arrested for rape, you need to first lay a charge of rape. I don't think that's unreasonable. The ANC has launched an internal investigation while Kodwa remains in his position. Political analyst at the University of KZN, Lukona Mguni, said Party-led disciplinary hearings tend to be influenced by politics and end up being unfruitful. That depends on who appoints and on what the political concerns among the elite within the political party are. So in other words, that Lukhona Mguni is just basically saying you cannot rely on a party to do its own internal investigations and come up with the right answers. You need to do this through the police, independently. And then in the Eastern Cape, the health department is on a drive to roll out the National Health Insurance Readiness Program to health districts. This will ensure that all medical facilities adhere to the ideal clinic status in the run-up to the introduction of the NHI. Hmm. I don't know how they can even be talking about this. When in Gauteng, for example, the National Department of Health, remember it's the National Health Insurance, not the provincial one. So they're going to try and make a utopia in one of the provinces. Of course, the Eastern Cape is anything but a utopia. But let's say that they get it right in two or three clinics. Then they're going to say, look, we're ready for NHI. And everybody's going to go, no, because everywhere else in the country, you've run the health department into the ground. There is no government hospital people want to go to. They're going there because they have no choice. And Aaron Motsoaledi has got major problems on his plate if he thinks that the NHI is a good idea. And if he still believes that the best way to make sure South Africans get good health care is to abolish private health care and take all that money and let the morons who run government state health have more money.
It just can't happen.
It's just writing a blank check to thieves and corrupt, inefficient, incapable, incompetent people. But that's just, you know, that's just looking at the facts. Don't let that get in the way of government finding a new way to get hold of your money. So apparently they will roll out the Ideal Clinic program as an initiative to systemically improve the quality of care provided in primary health care facilities across the country. At a cost of 17.5 million rand, Ngobo in the Eastern Cape now boasts the Zabaza Clinic. Yes, this facility uses the Central Chronic Medicine Dispensing Distribution Program. Doesn't that sound like it could be a problem? That name just sounds... The CCMDD. Sounds like a disease all on its own.
CCMDD.
Yes.
You don't want your doctor saying that.
It entails patients being able to pick up their chronic medication at any accredited pickup point. Who else thinks this is going to be a complete disaster?
Oof. Easily. It's not even debatable.
At the expense of many a person.
Remember, chronic medication, people don't get this. They could be very sick. They could even die.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're going to have someone distributing this. Maybe they use the same people who did SASSA and Batabile Dlamini. Maybe those are the people to use.
Never great track record.
Maybe you should use whoever was running BOSASA. There's another great example of how things can work. Maybe we should use the Northwest Healthcare Department, where people were dying in their droves because they just weren't able to get AIDS medication, AZT, antiretrovirals. Or maybe we should use the same crew that did Life Estimeni. I don't know, you choose.
Wow, we're spoiled for choice.
I know. Mm. So there's the news this morning. Those are the headlines you need to pay attention to. The five things you need to know. Bitcoin is at $3,841. Ethereum at $138. Sia Sangweni, why don't you give us Said by Sia this morning?
I shall.
All right. Do you want your theme music?
Leanne offered to sing it live for me this morning.
I can't remember how it goes. Oh, yes.
All right, take it away, Sia.
Best thing that's ever happened. Yeah. It's interesting how...
Really, that's the best thing?
Best thing ever. It was one random shower in a foreign country that helped Samir Lakhani help more than 650,000 people.
As in a rain shower or a shower?
A shower. in just
that
a foreign country.
Under.
Yes.
Right.
So listen to this. Samir Lakhani is 25 years old and he was in an exchange program in Cambodia of all places. And he was in his hotel taking a shower and he was about to check out. And he had a thought of, okay, I've been using the soap for a couple of days. There's still some soap left. But what exactly happens to this as I leave?
Yeah, because they're not going to repackage it. They're going to throw it away.
And we know how a lot of disease and also illnesses
and
get
pubes. Always pubes on the soap.
Ew. Well, a lot of disease and illness gets spread due to poor hygiene practices. And that got the 25-year-old thinking around what could he do in order to somehow recycle soap to give it to people who really need it. And that's when, while he was still attending the University of Pittsburgh, thought about the Eco Soap Bank. He's now created the nonprofit which recycles discarded bars of soap from hotels to rather recycle and distribute it to people in need. Now, before you slightly squirm and freak out,
other people's gross old soap
before you freak out
hairs in
that way.
Yeah?
The organization works with 4 recycling centers in the US, and they are able to recycle the soap. They also do sanitize it. Yeah. They even remold the soap into new bars of soap, or sometimes even melt it down into liquid soap. And they're able to distribute it around specifically Cambodia using 35 local women. So apart from helping and saving lives, they're also creating jobs. So since its inception in 2015, they've helped more than 650,000 people. And they've been able to benefit from the group's soap and hygiene education as well. Samir says, what I love most is that we are killing 3 birds with one stone. He says, we are keeping waste out of landfills because that's where a lot of these bars of soap just go. They also employ a lot of locals and they're spreading soap all over the country. So I think this is quite interesting that here he was just having this random thought and it's now been able to have this amazing ripple effect.
Mm.
You know, if you look at the numbers, according to UNICEF, a lot of diarrhea related diseases alone account for 1 in 5 deaths in Cambodia between...
And that's from not washing your hands.
Yeah, from children aged 5 and younger. This is only just because of poor hygiene practices. And you look at what a 25-year-old has been able to do. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. I think
very
this
good.
Is incredible.
It's all right. A good clean story, Sia.
All right.
That's your say, Basia, for this morning.
Thank you. Nice 2 or 3 story. Emails quickly. Jamie says that Jamie listens to our show. I sent a note this morning to someone at the league office at the NBA, that's the National Basketball Association, in New York, letting them know about your show. And if it wasn't on their radar, perhaps it should be. So it seems that our show is spreading far and wide, even into New York and the NBA. Isn't that exciting? Dean says, hang on, just lost that one. Oh, yeah, here's the email. Got a whole lot of these emails. So here's an interesting one from Sne. Sne says, I'm listening to your podcast on religion and culture. It came up this morning from earlier, and I don't know if you've read the book Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, which was published in the 1950s and documents a fictionalized series of events for a black Nigerian man in the colonial era. I felt like shit after reading this book and briefly hated England. I recommend you read it. It's so relevant to any African man. That's from Sne. Leanne actually brought her copy in this morning.
Yes, I studied, I majored in English at Varsity, and this was one of the subscribed pieces of literature.
Prescribed?
Is that what I said?
You said subscribed.
Did I?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yes, you're making it up.
Making it all up. It's a tiny little book, but it just left such an impression.
Give me the download. I remember I read it. Ages ago,
yeah,
too.
It's a long time since I read it. I mean, this book I bought was 38 rand, 52 cents.
Okay. Sure. You can't even buy chappies for that now.
It's all about the tribal life in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So it contains 3 big ideas, and those are manliness, tradition, and fate. Mm. And it all is about what happens when the European or the white man comes in and changes everything in the tribal structure and what happens within the tribe. So it completely turns around, you know, what a white person, thinks about colonization and gives you the raw perspective from, a black person within
okay,
the tribe.
Yeah, I remember this. Okay. Yeah. I've got it. In fact, I think I went on to read some more of Chinua Achebe's stuff, and he had a profound influence on. I mean, first of all, didn't he win a number of awards for that book? It was a breakout success when it was eventually taken seriously by the international publishing community. But I do remember this. I vaguely recall some of the stuff in there, and I remember it also kind of. It was shocking, I suppose, to a lot of people, but it documents something from the side that very seldom gets documented, particularly in the 1950s.
Mm.
So, yeah. Okay. Chinua Achebe. Thanks, Sne. Take a look at that.
Yeah.
Anushka is on Skype. Do you want to talk to Anushka? Hey, Anushka, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Sorry, your Skype line just needs to clear. Just clear your throat quickly. There we go. Much better. Yeah, much better. Go ahead.
Well, you guys should actually be hearing me quite well because I've just connected you to my speaker in my room and it sounds awesome.
Well, once you coughed and cleared the phlegm out of the line, everything was fine.
Okay. Anyway, Leanne, thank you so much about talking white Europeans and because this links into the story I want to tell you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So last week I drove. So I've recently moved from Four Ways and I now live in Midstream, which is already a culture shock.
Is that an upward move or have you lost money?
No, I think it's an upward move.
Okay. All right. Cool.
The people are just a bit dodgy. Okay. Anyway, so I drive on the highway to go to Parkmore to friends of mine to fetch my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the highway, there's about two or three gantries just before you get the William Nicol off-ramp.
Yes.
And it is pissing with rain. There's this huge ass. I don't know if you guys know those Jeeps, like those oldish. It's almost like a Jeep you take when you go camping.
Yeah.
That it's like a brownish color.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy thinks I'm driving too slow in the slow lane because I want to off ramp.
Yeah.
And he's obviously now putting his lights on and going on with me. And I thought, fuck you. I'm in the slow lane. So just stay behind me.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. So eventually he tries to overtake me. But he then slams into the right side of my car.
Oh, yeah.
He gets out of the car. I can't even believe it. I'm still in shock. He starts banging on my window.
What?
And he says to me, "You fucking people. You people. You screw up everything. You can't even drive properly."
But first of all, he slams into you. Second of all, he's behaving like an idiot in the slow lane when you're entitled to go as slow as you want because you can use the off ramp. What the hell is this guy's problem?
Jeez.
And now I am shitting my pants because it's raining. I'm alone. I don't know what to do. And now I'm just thinking, Anushka, now the colored must come out.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay,
bring it, baby.
So now let's bring this out.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife gets out and he says in Afrikaans to her, "Klim in die fucking car." So sure. I can already see this guy's aggro. Mm-hmm. Maybe had a couple of drinks. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's angry at the world.
And what a charmer. What a charmer to talk to his wife like that. Clearly he's just a lovely guy to be with.
Anyway, so I get out and I say to him, "Sir, clearly that we have a problem here. So I'm going to take your details." "You're not taking my fucking details. You people fucked up everything in this country.
Sure.
You think you can drive like..." So I open my boot and I take out my crowbar.
Ooh.
And he says to me, "Are you going to hit me?" I said, "If you're going to speak to me like that, I'm going to fuck you in the face."
So what did he do?
So now I've already phoned my gay friends. Yeah. I've already phoned my husband.
Oh, by the way, the gay friends might not be the first best port of call. And I don't want to be...
When they arrived, shit went down.
Oh.
But anyway.
All right.
So now I'm standing in the rain with my little crowbar. I'm actually shaking inside, but I thought I have to be strong for myself.
Sure.
Because this guy can just lift me up and kill me.
Good for you.
So, and I start taking pictures because there's... "I'm not giving you my details because you are in the wrong. You don't know how to drive." But he keeps on going back to "you people." And the more he says "you people," the more I'm like, I don't know what he's thinking. Does he think I'm a Gupta? because I look a bit, I'm a bit mixed. Does he think I'm black and I'm stealing the money? I don't know what he's thinking. So anyway, I said to him, you're not leaving because I'm actually going to sue your ass. So you're going to stay right here.
Yes.
Because you are verbally abusing me. You just fucked up my car.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even apologizing, but he keeps to his story. You did nothing wrong. And I said, sir, you're under the influence. You and I are going to the Sandton police station. He refuses. So now my husband arrived. Everybody arrived. Everybody's taking pictures. The gays are behaving gay. Things are going wild.
Wow.
And eventually...
What a scene. I wish I'd seen this on the highway. This would be worth rubbernecking.
I should have recorded them.
And it's in the rain.
Oh, yeah, word.
And it's in the rain. But now the rain subsided a bit, and a nice guy called Greg stopped, would calm down the whole situation.
Yeah.
Greg said, okay, guys, can we all drive to the police station, go give... And this guy's just refusing. He's going to no fucking police station.
Yeah.
Almal is fucking corrupt. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So I went to the police station with my posse. We may open the case, and I'm going to sue him.
Good.
I've got your car details. Brilliant. I've got everything. Good. And I'm going to sue his ass, because who the fuck does he think he is?
Well, you keep us updated. This sounds like it could be a really interesting story. And I do like when justice is done. So if this guy gets his ass handed to him, I want it to be from you.
I will let you know.
I hate people who are so aggressive on the roads. You know, he can't admit he's wrong. By the way, the law has a presumption that if someone goes into the back of you, it's their fault.
Yes. Even if
he was deliberate because he wanted to cut me off. He's been trying to do that since the second gantry. So now he literally swerved into me. Because he's been flashing me and doing all
so
the funny
what was his what was his poor wife doing? Just sitting in the car. Like looking bewildered.
I actually felt because she wanted to talk to me, and then he said, "Klim in die fucking car." Yeah. And I'm like, okay, there's clearly some issues here.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, sure. So I thought, okay, no, let me rather just let her keep her out of it because my issues with him.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I mean, Jesus. what a nightmare, and well done for being brave. That's really brave. You're much braver than Gaga at the Oscars or that man who wore a dress.
You've had a very hard life.
So now my husband said, I think it's time for you to go to the shooting range and get a gun license. And I thought, oh, fuck, no, I don't want to be Oscar.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Okay, cool, guys. Cheers, have a good Anushka. Day. Bye.
Bye. That's a very nice clear line, by the way, from Anushka's speakers in her room. Okay, Sir Echelon says, I hate to say it, but people are stupid and gullible. Have you heard of this Pastor Elf Lukau raising people from the dead? What a complete charlatan. Yes, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more next on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.